One of the ways to figure out if chemicals are harmful to people is to test them on animals similar to people. Animal testing, obviously, is a hot topic now and always. By law passed a couple of years ago, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, is supposed to reduce its role in animal testing. But a couple of groups concerned about such testing point to numbers indicating an increase ordered by the EPA. Let's get into the law, the numbers, and the stories. Two guests, Jeff Morris is the director of the EPA Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Good to have you here. Christy Sullivan is with us as well. She's the Vice President of Research Policy for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Thank you for joining us, Christy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Sure. Jeff, let's start with some background. Congress rewrote the Toxic Substances Control Act a couple of years ago. What were some of the primary motivations or thrusts of the law change?
Right. One primary thrust was that prior to the enactment of the law, the hundreds of new chemical substances that become available every year for use in the United States, if there were not adequate information for EPA to do its review of those chemicals, and we have that responsibility, then there was no requirement for us to ask for that information. Now there is. So we receive between 800 and 1,000 notices every year for new chemical substances. Some subset of those end up being in commerce. But for every one of those, we have to be sure that we have adequate information to do our review to make sure it can be used safely in commerce. And if we don't, the new law requires us to use whatever means necessary within our authorities to get that information. That's where the testing issue comes in. At the same time, the law also required EPA to look for means of reducing animal testing.
All right.
And an important part of that is developing a strategy, which we've now put out in draft form, to move us toward using less animals in chemical testing.
Okay, and there are some deadlines coming up we want to talk about here and some key dates coming up. Christy, would you tell us, please, about the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and the interest in passage of this law?
Sure. Well, we're a non-governmental organization of about 175,000 doctors and scientists and many lay supporters as well. Probably some listening today. We have members and supporters all over the country. We're headquartered in Washington. And we have, since 1985, worked together with the government and with companies and universities to try to replace the uses of animals in training and testing and research with better methods that are more reflective of human physiology and that are more protective of public health.
So, as an opener, what are some of the better methods that exist other than animal testing?
Well, in many cases, there are computer models that can, and EPA actually uses these models, predict the potential toxicity of a substance based on its chemical structure or based on what we already know about the many chemical structures that are already in commerce. Sometimes a new substance or an existing substance is very similar to other substances, and you can make predictions based on that. Another main area of alternatives are what we call in vitro tests. So they're based in a, you can conduct tests in a test tube or many test tubes with cells. You can use human cells, you can use animal cells. We promote human cells because we think that's more human relevant. But one good example is that if you want to test for potential skin irritation of a chemical, laboratories will create an in vitro 3D skin tissue model of human skin, and you can to place the chemical on that model rather than on an animal skin and get your result.
All right, so you're saying lots of other options. And then what has the research that you and PETA did discovered about numbers of animal tests coming out of the EPA or ordered by the EPA?
Well, what we looked into using a resource called ChemView is all of the new EPA responses to proposals to create to manufacture chemicals. For 2015, 2016, and 2017, and started looking now at this year, 2018. And we found in 2017 a very large increase in the number of tests being either requested or required, something around the order of 10 times the number of animals, if these tests were to be conducted, would be killed.
All right. What, so the numbers we're looking at here, we have for example, 2016 EPA asked for 37 tests by your numbers, and then that jumped to 331. So Jeff Morris, I mean, it says right in the law, the administrator shall minimize to the extent practicable the use of vertebrate animals in testing of chemical substances or mixtures. Are the numbers correct, first of all?
The numbers are somewhat correct. Now, we, as Christy mentioned, in some cases we required testing. In other cases, we were recommending testing if the conditions should change in the use of the chemical. So those conditions may never change, and those tests may never be conducted. But that said, I think it's generally true that since the new law now requires us in all cases, when we don't have adequate information to do a review, to attempt to acquire that information, that the number of tests is going to go up. I think it's important to recognize that before the Chemicals Act was strengthened through the Lautenberg Act amendments to the to TSCA, that only a small percentage of those chemicals that came through the EPA for review, where there wasn't adequate information, actually we made requests on. Now that we're required to do that, I think it's quite natural and appropriate that to some extent the amount of information that's required go up. That said, we entirely agree with the Physicians Committee and PETA that we need to look very hard at every single chemical case to determine whether an animal test is really necessary. And that's why we very much appreciated their analysis, because I think it does help us just focus on that issue. For every animal test that we think may be necessary, is it really appropriate and necessary, and is there an alternative available? And if there's not an alternative available, what can we do to work with the research community to develop those alternatives? So I see the amendments to TSCA as being a tremendous opportunity not only to now move non-animal testing into the chemical evaluation space, but really help guide the research to bring new methods into the testing arena, so that over the medium and long term, we can make significant progress in reducing animal tests, which is, as I said, is our shared goal here.
Let me remind our listeners, we are talking about animal testing as ordered by the EPA. Jeff Morris is the director of the EPA's Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics. We also have Christy Sullivan with us. She's the vice president of research policy of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. TSCA is the Toxic Substances Control Act. The Lautenberg Act is the updating of it in Congress in 2016. And you can join this conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jeff Morris, if I'm getting the gist of your case correctly, what you're saying is because the requirements for EPA to monitor chemicals have gone up, that requirements for tests would naturally go up?
Yeah, I think that what we've got is an attempt to, on all of our parts, to align two important elements of the law. One, to take greater measures to ensure that all chemicals that enter commerce are safe, with the other mandate to reduce animal testing. So in the long term, I believe we can reach alignment there as new animal test methods are developed. But in the near term, I think it's true that because the safety requirements, and which we believe are you know, a tremendous benefit to the American public, will require some additional animal testing. But so, the important piece, of course, is to make sure that we're being very, very careful and only requiring new animal tests when it's absolutely necessary.
Christy Sullivan, I imagine your case, though, is not always absolutely necessary.
Right. We have a number of concerns with the analysis that we did, which we brought to EPA. And I just want to say, I think, you know, EPA has been very open to hearing our views and responding to them. And so we have, you know, an ongoing dialogue going. And, you know, I just wanted to highlight one of the things that we found is that we did find that EPA requested animal tests where there are non-animal tests in wide use already. And so that's where I think, you know, one of the things that we had asked them about was to have a much more clear statement of need. So the new law requires them to state the basis for requesting or requiring any new vertebrate animal testing. And so there's sort of a, in these documents, there's sort of this generic, you know, we looked for alternatives and considered them. But what, you know, those of us who work really closely in promoting the implementation of methods know that the devil is really in the details. And so what we need to be able to see is something that says, oh, we looked at this alternative and we found it not useful in this case. And that will really help, you know, feed into the further development and implementation of the methods that could replace animals. So if they're requiring an animal test, what really is the basis for that? Is it that there is just no information that they could use otherwise? You know, what kinds of alternatives did they consider? So that's one of the requests that we've made.
I want to be clear on something, too. Jeff Morris, does EPA do the actual testing, or does it contract with laboratories and outside companies to do the testing? Whatever kind of testing.
In most cases, the testing that we require require the company that wishes to put the chemical on the market to do the testing. So the company would contract with a laboratory or do the testing themselves and submit it to us. So this is a requirement on the submitter of the chemical substance to us for review.
You mentioned a draft plan as we got going here, and there does need to be, by the terms of the law passed in 2016, a strategic plan for alternative testing. It's been 2 years and a day since Congress passed it. Where does the plan stand?
Right. We issued that draft on March 7th and got very good public comment, stakeholder comment on that plan. And so it's our intent to meet the law's June 22nd deadline for finalizing that plan. And so we are we're getting very close now, and we're intending to meet that deadline to issue that final strategic plan.
Is there a further comment period once the final plan is laid on the table?
No, this will be a final plan. And so in terms of formal public comment, no. But as with documents like this and plans like this, we recognize that as we learn more and as we begin to work the strategy and continue to engage with stakeholders, we're likely to find areas to enhance the strategy and to improve the plan. So we're going to just continually be open to receiving input on how we do this. And the law certainly requires us to come back to the plan and update it. So we will do that.
All right. So June 22nd is the date to look for that to drop. Christy, yep. Sullivan, I noticed that your interest in animal testing and laboratory ethics in general extends beyond our borders, that you're also involved with the International Council on Animal Protection and OECD programs. So you have a vision here for how does the United States compare with other countries in terms of animal testing?
Well, it's very interesting, actually, because people often talk about the European Union, and they have very strong legislation that requires, in all cases, not just under the chemical testing law that we're talking about here, but in any case, if there's an available alternative, you have to use it. They also passed similar chemical legislation about a decade ago that came into force called REACH that had a strong requirement for using alternatives. And actually, we've learned quite a lot from the implementation of the EU law that fed into our consideration of and our lobbying on the Tosca Reform Act here, because what we saw is that even with that sort of language in the European Union law, the agency hasn't been as enthusiastically taking up alternative methods as we would have thought. And so we are learning those lessons and trying to monitor kind of the implementation of the TSCA law and make sure that the actual implementation works as well as it could. What I find is that EPA has actually done quite a bit in its Office of Research and Development to develop alternative test methods. They have a plan, they have a program called ToxCast, which looks at large sets of different assays, looking at different biological processes, and relates those to the endpoints that we're interested in, like carcinogenicity or reproductive toxicity. So I think here in the United States, we have a much stronger scientific base, and now we have this legislation. I think that it also helps to promote implementation of alternatives.
Okay, so the legislation again passed in 2016. That's the Lautenberg Act, an update to TSCA, the Toxic Substances Control Act, and there is a draft plan for limiting animal testing from the EPA due out on June 22nd. Christy Sullivan is the Vice President of Research Policy at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Jeff Morris, the Director of the EPA's Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good to have you both here.